hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I'm in the studio here with Bill the Producer for once in a month. That's like the quota right now, I guess.
To be fair,
I have to make an appearance once a month with Bill, give him some food, and then lock the door behind me and leave him here for another month.
Nice of you to get it out of the way early in August.
Yeah, well, I'm trying. You know, it's hot out there anyway. You wouldn't want to be out there.
No.
You'd sweat. However, you know, I'm leaving immediately after the show. I'll throw him some food under the door. Or something, and something flat like a pizza, maybe. Yeah, it'll probably rub the cheese off. You'll just get the crust if you're lucky. But
it'll make it easier for me to pace myself over the course of the month.
But I have to go to the Maldives. Thanks to my friends at Explore Ventures. We're going to the Maldives next week. You're going to hear all about it. 2 weeks from today, we're going to actually broadcast from the deck of the boat. And if everything goes as planned, it's going to be quite an adventure. I know it. Clay McArdle, the man behind the madness of Explorer Ventures, is on the line. Clay, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. I'm getting ready to go to the Maldives.
Yeah, Bill's happy about that. I know. I know he says he's not because he's going to be there alone, but he's probably happy to get rid of you.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's almost as happy.
Mixed
as
blessing.
Mixed
blessing.
Well, okay, maybe that's what it is. It could be, but it's a. You know, it's a love-hate kind of thing. What are you going to do? You know, I got to go. I mean, we got to go and talk about this, find out what's over there. And I got to say, you know, on my travels for the last month getting ready for this adventure in Grenada and Dominica, I've been telling all these people in the industry that we've interfaced with that we're going to the Maldives. And the one thing that they keep throwing at me, Clay, they say that's like going to the Galapagos with warm water. And if that
Pretty
is the
much.
Case, I boy, are we in for a treat. Is that what you came? I mean, I know you went on this trip a couple months ago. What, 2-3 months ago?
Yeah, we went back in April and had a great trip. Spent a week on board, and that particular week, of course, we got skunked on some of the bigger stuff that you normally see. The you know, there weren't as many whale sharks and there weren't as many mantas, but there were whale sharks and there were mantas.
Well, hey, and, what are you going to do?
Know, a lot of Yeah, exactly. So
I mean, just to see them, I don't have to see a lot of them. If I see one or two, I'll be tickled pink. I can't
yeah,
wait.
Yeah. You stand a pretty good chance, and the boat is just going to blow you away. The whole operation there is just. I'm looking forward to hearing what you think about it when you get back.
It is always fun when you're taking somebody with you that has not done like a destination or a boat. And just getting that reaction, isn't it? It's kind of like teaching someone to dive in a way, isn't it? You think?
That's the most fun thing. And that's what our crews love, too, is certainly they do this every week, but to see everybody's reaction the first time they come down and experience what the crew sees every day is just, that's one of the many things that makes it all worthwhile.
That's right, I'm sure. Keeps them energized, for sure, being on a boat for so long. Now, I'm really looking forward to that adventure. Of course, we're going to broadcast from the boat a couple weeks from today, and you will hear all about it. And I can't wait for that adventure. We also have our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise in Ceiba, and people can join us on that September 17th. Go to exploreventures.com, dial them up, book it today. Dan and Betty Orr are going to be on board. Have you made any changes or plans? Is there a chance you might come along for that too, Clay, or are you still working on it?
There actually is a pretty good chance I might go down and bug you that trip.
Oh man, that'd be awesome! See that now you got the chance of diving with the big cheese himself right there. That'll be a treat. So we have that. But let's talk about the big news that happened while I was away a couple weeks ago, and that is your new vessel that is sailing through the waters of Mexico, right?
Exactly. We've got the Moondiver Explorer.
The Moondiver Explorer. Is that what it is, Moondiver?
I love the horns in the background.
Yeah, well, you know, you get your own little fanfare. This is this is worth this.
The Moondiver Explorer, we announced that, I don't know, 10 or 12 days ago.
Right.
And the response has just been amazing. What we're doing with that boat is we're going out. You fly into Cancun.
Okay.
And then we bus you down south to a little fishing village called Mahahual, and then it's about a 90-minute run out to the Chinchorro Bank, which will be the at least at the outset the full-time destination for that boat.
Excellent.
And
Chinchorro Bank.
Yeah, chinchillas. It's actually those small little furry muskrat-looking things. Yeah,
critters. No, there's that's not.
I thought it was just a big pile of them in the water.
That is a marine park down there, right? So it's protected area and very.
Yep, it's a highly protected area. There haven't been any liveaboards going there in many, many, many years. Very tough to get the permissions to get there, and we're real excited about it. I mean, it's sort of the top edge of the Mesoamerican reef system through there, and it's 250 wrecks in the area and swim throughs and caves and all sorts of fun
very
stuff.
Safe boating region. 250
yeah, really,
wrecks.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but you know, the only way to get there for years and years has been land-based operation off out of Mahahual, and it's a long run out, and it was very weather dependent and all that. So we're excited to be able to get out there.
Yeah, well, and I wonder. I'll be honest. I have not been to Mexico in literally 20 plus years because that's where I did my honeymoon when I got married, was Cancun. And
cool.
Then we started Scuba Radio.
Wife won't let you go back because of the horrible memories.
Well, I'll tell you. You know, when we did, we had a great honeymoon. We did. And I've always kind of wanted to go back, but back then it was 20 years ago, and you did have that issue with the water. You don't drink the water, and I don't know that has changed. I think a lot in the touristy areas of Cancun.
Clay, are you married?
No, I'm not.
No, I was just curious because Greg is the only person I've met so far. Who claims that the basis of the success of their marriage was that he and his wife took separate honeymoons. And I've always thought that was strange.
No, we didn't take separate honeymoons. We both went to Cancun. What are you talking about? Okay. What did I say?
Nothing. I just thought you took separate honeymoons.
No,
Actually, I assume that you did.
I just think his wife's fictitious since I've never met her.
Yeah, I'll add you to the list. So does everyone else. But no,
the problem is
exist.
She's very, very nice. And that's where the real confusion comes
where everybody is really shocked.
He has two great kids and a fantastic wife, and then there's him.
How is this possible?
It's all Photoshop.
Anyway, I would think that if you had any fear of drinking the water there, which I don't even know if that's an issue anymore, you wouldn't on a liveaboard.
It's the Gulf of Mexico. You shouldn't drink the water. It's salt water.
I don't think
this is even a question. I don't know what has gone wrong in your brain.
Yeah, but I think the reverse osmosis water on board is probably pretty good.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. That's what I'm saying. If you had any fear of staying at a resort in Mexico because of that, you wouldn't on a liveaboard because you guys you do your own water filtration, and obviously... you keep that in check and that kind of thing, and go dive and enjoy the scenery and that kind of stuff, the diving. Now, what are they known for in that Chinchorro Bank area? Is it
250 wrecks?
Yeah,
250 wrecks. We saw bull sharks, hammerheads.
Isn't that a big turtle nesting ground or something like that? Or is there something about turtles?
I think there's one area of it that is, but I have not as yet been there. So I will be down there next Saturday. I'll get back a week from the following Saturday. I'll be able to tell you a lot more about it.
Ah, okay. So while
Greg
I'm
will be in the Maldives,
right.
And you'll be coming back from Mexico. I hate the both of you.
Yeah. But enjoy that topless pizza. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well, all right. I'll tell you what.
Just be thankful we're not Bill.
I'm going to enjoy it while I'm topless. So put that in your brain and let that stew around a little bit.
You know what? I was worried about the water.
Yeah. Thanks for the visual, dude. I appreciate that.
Oh, brother. Well, what are you going to do? Yeah, but I mean, I know you're excited about going down there and diving this new boat. What about the vessel itself? What can you tell me about this compared to, I know the Maldives boat is brand spanking new, And you tell me I'm going to be quite impressed, and I have no doubt. I've seen the pictures on ExploreVentures.com. What about the Mexico boat? I haven't seen pictures yet. I'm sure they're up there as well. But what kind of vessel are we talking about?
Well, it's actually it's sort of similar in terms of construction. It's a wood boat. It's a little less than 100 feet, 16 passengers, and eight crew, up to eight crew. And it's a nice little boat. It's very stable. It actually came across from Spain about a year and a half ago. It's only 2.5, 3 years old.
Oh, well, that's great, because the boat already knows Spanish then.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's important to be able to get around there.
Yeah.
It saves money on captains.
And it's called the Moon Diver.
Yep.
Moon Diver, okay. And are there pictures up there, Explorer Ventures?
There certainly are.
All right.
Will there be night dives?
There will be night dives.
That's good. That's good. It would be dumb if there wasn't.
Good point. Never thought of that. Leave it to Bill to point out the obvious. All right. ExploreAdventures.com. We got more coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
She is home to the oldest protected rainforest in the Western Hemisphere, the largest brain coral in the world, and she's considered the true jewel of the Caribbean Sea. Her sparkle will live in your memory long after you have left her shores. Tobago is her name, and she is now calling for you. Pristine coral reefs teeming with rich marine life are just the beginning. Find out why this is so in Tobago by going to visittobago.gov.tt. That's visittobago.gov.tt.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Dude, an ancient sunken city.
Could it possibly be? Are the old legends true? It is. It's the fabled lost city of Atlanta.
Howdy, y'all.
I'll take you to my island, show you lots of good time. I'll take you around the world and be proud that you are mine. I'll buy you lots of things, buy you lots of diamond rings. And anything you want, that's why I have to sing. Into Ilucha, oh yeah. Into Inagua, Benete, into Long Island. All around the Bahamas. Grand Bahama, and Walker's Key. So come go with me, come on, to Bimini. Everybody, let me hear ya. Do it.
Man, I gotta go back to Bimini. I hear they're cranking over there at the Big Gang Club. Guy Harvey Outpost Resort that we broadcast from for New Year's Eve. It is about time we go back. I don't know when, with our schedule the way it is. Literally, we are jammed throughout the summer. I'm leaving for the Maldives next week. We'll do that for a couple weeks, and then we'll be back for a couple weeks, and then we're off to the Saba trip in September. And then in October, it looks like we're going to go back to Grenada and do our advanced rebreather a dive certification with Aquanauts Grenada. We got that in the works. It looks very promising that we're going to do that towards the end of October. That also corresponds with the 50-year anniversary sinking of the Bianca C shipwreck. So that is coming into focus. And then the first week of November, we have the DEMA show in Orlando. So we have a very, very busy schedule over the next 3 months. And in between that, maybe we can sneak a little run out to Bimini and see our friends over there and sing that song and do a little Bimini dance, little rake and scrape. Now, last week, hopefully you caught the show, we were down in Pompano Beach, and we were there for the Wreck Racing League's underwater scooter race, second annual event, had Mermaid Tony in a mermaid tail and a scooter.
She was the pace car.
She was the pace mermaid. We still haven't come up with a proper term exactly, but Jeff Trode, or better known as Captain Cocktail from South Florida Diving Headquarters, is on the line to cover the play-by-play. Jeff, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, you recovered?
Yeah, kind of. I got a little woozy. I did. I didn't feel very good on race day.
Yeah, you blamed it on the tacos, Bill.
Yeah, well, it was the nachos. I had some I had some dirty nachos that were playing havoc with me. Yeah, the conditions were kind of rough on practice day, but on game day, it worked out okay, didn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, it calmed down, and we had some really clear visibility. Unfortunately, we had a strong south current, so one side of the track was really slow, and the other side was really fast.
Yeah, well, and I will say, now, Jeff, you know, you were there. You know what happened, but I'll explain it for Jeff and everyone, or Bill and everyone else, about the idea. We were going to have Tony, Mermaid Tony, be the official pace car or pace mermaid and do like a lap around the track with all the racers, the underwater scooter racers, before. And I was kind of like in charge of helping get her to the track, and we had a little bit of current.
I can see where this would have gone without any problem.
Well, here's
first
the
first mistake, right, Bill?
Yeah.
First mistake.
Go ahead. Is that, you know, you'd think, I mean, I'm a professional mermaid wrangler, there would be no issues. But they gave me a scooter to use. It was a torpedo scooter. And me being the dopey diver that I am, I didn't think about asking anyone how these things work. Because I've played with many scooters before. There's usually a little switch, and you just, you know, squeeze the trigger, and you putz along, right? Well, this torpedo thing, I get in the water. Tony's in the water putting on the mermaid tail, getting ready to get geared up, right, Bill? And they hand the scooter down to me that's about, I don't know, a good 2.5 feet long, big, round, torpedo-looking type thing.
Did you get to shore in, what, Fort Lauderdale?
Well, they hand it down to me, and I grab it, and I'm like, hey, where's the switch on this thing? And I'm, you know, meanwhile, there's a current. So it's like I'm drifting away from the boat, and I'm like, I'm holding this thing that is negatively buoyant, and I'm trying to stay afloat, and I can't find a trigger on this thing to make the damn thing go. And finally, yeah, you know,
come with instructions.
Yeah, yeah. And Tony's handing on, you know, holding on to the dive ladder, and she's starting to scream at me like, "Greg, come on, let's go. We got to get over the race." I'm like, "I can't get it to work." It was just, oh, it was so, it was just the goofiest thing. Finally, I get up to the ladder, and I like I hated to say this, but I yelled up to the captain, I'm like, "Cap, how do you work this thing?" And evidently this, it has like what, magnetic triggers? Is that what
it
is?
It's a magnet. Yeah, exactly. So you light it up, and it goes over it, and it activates it.
And now they tell me, you know, what happened to the just simple trigger act? What is this, like a safety device, like a jet ski?
Exactly.
So, okay, because you don't want it taken off without
proof.
Yeah, it's idiot proof.
Hey, Bill, meanwhile at the ranch, there's 27 racers down on the line ready to go, and everybody's looking at everybody like, where
the hell's
Greg?
The mermaid and the Greg?
Mermaid Tony.
Rapidly running out of air.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody's like, well, are we going to race or what are we going to do? Finally, the decision was made, hey, we're going to have to scrub the pace lap, get ready to go, and then we got them started without the pace lap.
27 races, that's a pretty good field.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you should have seen it in the first turn.
Was there a wreck?
You ever watch remember the old days, you used to have that roller derby?
Oh, yeah.
You know, where they used to hit each other with elbows going in the first turn.
Hey, you know,
it looked very similar.
Yeah, if you didn't know any better, on the VHF radio, this would be called a Charlie Foxtrot.
Yeah, exactly.
But
permission to speak freely.
But it was fun. I mean, and everybody had a ball. I mean, yeah, there were little snafus. We didn't get to do our little pace car ride, but we got some pictures of Tony there by the infield and waving the racers by and stuff, that kind of thing. So it ended up being a fun event. And it really is cool to watch these guys do this, even though I kind of missed it on this particular race.
But who missed the start?
I missed the Who won? I couldn't tell. I because by the time I got there, it was already going on. I couldn't tell who was in first, last, or what. So
Valvano won. He's up from your neck of the woods in Orlando.
Yeah,
he's an Orlando boy.
Well, I got the press.
He was riding a CUDA scooter.
Well, I got the press release up there at scubaradio.com. But I mean, it was a CUDA scooter. What kind of scooter is that? Just supercharged, torpedo looking like
and
thing.
He's an engineer by trade, so he's an electrical engineer. So he's done a little tweaking to that thing, and it's got a special prop on it and a different kind of battery in it. So it's fast.
Yeah,
it's James Bond fast.
It is. It's like Orange County choppers for underwater scooters. Some of these guys are.
He laid back the first two laps because he wasn't in the first place for the first two laps, and I'm going, he's laying back. And I asked him after the race, I said, you laid back the first couple of laps? He said, yeah, because I got DQ'd in a previous race for missing a flag, and he said, I didn't want to miss the flag.
Yeah, and he wanted to make it fair, make it look good. All right.
There we go.
RecRacingLeague.com. Check it out.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master and Bill the Producer. Now, a lot of stuff's been going on. You know, that Wreck Racing League thing down in Pompano Beach. And by the way, you want to just go down there and do some diving like I did my lobster diving last week. SouthFloridaDiving.com is the website for Jeff's operation. And you go down there and take advantage of the first day of lobster season in Florida. Which I forgot to ask Jeff how it was going down there. Now, we have had some reports already from down in the Keys that Hurricane Emily, or Tropical Storm Emily, that we thought was going to be an issue, really was not. And they have amazing conditions down there for the first day of lobster season in Florida. And got a report from Mermaid Tony that... she limited out. She had photographic evidence as well, unless it was someone else's box. But I'm guessing she did pretty good down there, and it'll be and hopefully that's a good sign. I mean, I will say overall that mini season last week, the weather was a little shaky, especially the first day. It was blowing a lot in Florida, it was. You know, I was getting reports that, you know, the dive operations and the people there going out lobstering were doing pretty good and finding plenty of lobster to snag. And that's a good sign that maybe the fishery is doing okay or it's being managed, you know, well or well enough for now. However, you know, I got to get down there and do some lobstering. Many seasons, one thing, real seasons, another. So after I get back from the Maldives, I hopefully will sneak in a quick little lobster dive in South Florida or the Keys, and we'll work out some stuff. Now, we do have some new pictures at scubaradio.com, too, that I want to tell you to check out from Dominica Dive Fest and our adventures in Grenada. And we're going to talk about this next because, as I said earlier, we're going to go back and do our advanced course, it looks like, on the silent diving rebreather. And we're going to talk about that and more right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
So, tell me true. Are you guys for scuba?
What does that mean?
I'm like the unofficial scuba king of St. Bart. So, if you are for scuba, I take you out on the boat, I show you the coral reef, and we have kind of like a scuba party.
You know, that sounds great, but we're not certified, so we're going to have to pass.
That is no biggie. I get you resort certified, couple of hours.
Oh, I have always wanted to try it.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. All right, rebreathers. Are they the new wave? Are they the new nitrox in the dive industry? I know Bill has been asking me about this since I've gotten back during the commercial breaks. You want to know more about this stuff, don't you?
Honestly, I want to know if it's worth the extra effort. That's what I want to know.
Short answer, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. I knew enough about it. I'd tried it a couple times before, that I knew some of the research and the background, the mechanics of what goes into making these things work. And actually the technology is not new at all. Most of the basic, theory of rebreathers even goes back beyond open circuit scuba. Did you know that, Bill?
Well, I did know that the earliest attempts to do diving were essentially on recycled air. They didn't pump in. The first diving equipment was recycled air, not pumped in air, or
right.
Not pressurized air.
Yeah, yeah. So it goes way, way back, and the military's used this technology for years and years. But it's different. It's very, that was the one thing that really kind of surprised me more after going through the course in Grenada, was how much work goes into it from a training standpoint before you even remotely get to the point of really enjoying it. And I knew that from I did a couple rebreather experience type dives, and at least for me personally, they didn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I one of them went pretty well. The other one didn't go so well. I was kind of like, this is wrong. This doesn't feel right. I don't like it, but I know I should because I've seen enough and I'd talked to enough people that it's supposed to be like this, but it didn't feel like that to me. You know what I mean?
So you were not as comfortable with how to do it.
Yeah.
And a part of that may have been because you hadn't had enough training.
Exactly.
You think?
No, yeah. I knew that had to be it because I know I've doing this show. I've met a lot of folks over the years, and there's friends of mine that just literally they won't do anything else except a rebreather. And there's a lot. There's definitely an effort right now in the dive industry to make rebreathers, to push them into the recreational market in a very, very big way. I would say over the next couple, 2-3 years, you're going to see rebreathers popping up a lot more often. A lot of big manufacturers are starting to jump into this market because they see this as a new and expanding market. And it has been compared to could this be the new nitrox? 10 years, 15 years ago, nitrox was like voodoo gas. And I was like, oh, that's only for technical divers. You don't want to mess with that nitrox stuff. You'll kill yourself. I'm kind of seeing the same type of attitude now about rebreathers with different manufacturers getting involved. Patty is getting involved in rebreather training big time right now and really trying to help the manufacturers streamline a process and standardize some training protocols to make it more accessible to the general population, to the general diving public.
All right, so you had your training.
Yep.
And you got to do your checkout dives
right.
on the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
What was the thing which you most noticed as being the biggest improvement of a closed-circuit system versus an open system?
Well, you know, the silent diving aspect of it
right.
is remarkable. You know, once you get past the information overload, as you would with any new type of diving, whether it's even open circuit, and you can kind of clear your brain a little bit about, oh, my God, I'm going to die. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. And you can get over that and work through the equipment issues. Then you start to live in the moment and open up your eyes and look around, just like the first time I learned how to dive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't get that experience till at least 10 dives into being a certified open water diver. It wasn't until 10 dives later, a few trips later, that I finally had that Zen moment. Where I was like, oh, my God, this is what it's supposed to. Oh, my. This is it.
Yeah.
Now I get it. This is so cool. I'm living the Discovery. I'm in the Discovery Channel TV show right now. And I had that moment. It was in West Palm Beach. I remember it to this day. And it was. And I had that kind of experience in Grenada on the rebreather because it is so different. It is so quiet. That's what's really remarkable about it. Even when you're diving with other open circuit divers around, you really start to understand how loud we are underwater to the other animals and why they obviously they get spooked from the bubbles. It's loud when you take those bubbles away and you realize how quiet it really is down there.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's quiet on open circuit scuba, which a
right.
lot of people go away or, you know, go down to dive to get away from it all. They want
right.
to, you know, but man, you take away the bubble stuff. Oh my gosh. It is really an amazing experience and seeing how the animals react and how they just accept you as another critter swimming around and don't get spooked. I can only imagine what they're thinking now after seeing that and experiencing it firsthand. They must think we're like a friggin' freight train coming through their house. You know, really. It's pretty remarkable on the sound level and how much that can add to the underwater experience, just being quiet and just only hearing just your breath, literally, and your heartbeat.
I mean,
it's kind of all you hear and just a couple little control things of a air cylinder pumping in some oxygen every once in a while.
Now, do you get that inhale sound that you get on a regular that
not quite the same. You do a little bit, but it's not a regulator type of sound so much as it's just maybe like a heavy breathing.
Okay.
I mean, okay. That's kind of it's you don't hear, you know, like a regulator going.
Now, can you hear the other divers?
Yeah, you can. It's you can definitely hear the other divers on open circuit. You can't really hear another, you know, a rebreather diver. However, you can talk to them easier, I think, a little bit on rebreathers because we have a little bit, maybe a slightly bigger air passage. So it is so quiet and you don't have to compete with the bubbles.
Uh-huh.
And you know how you're talking to someone underwater like, you know. You can do that a little bit more.
Can I be totally honest with you?
What?
I never try and talk to somebody underwater.
Oh, I do it all the time.
I know you do.
I know some people.
I know you do.
Literally, they're like ventriloquists. You're like, wow, how did he say that underwater so clearly? You know, there's certain people that can do that.
All right, and I'm going to have to tell you a little secret.
What?
Some of the people you dive with, space aliens, and they're using mental telepathy.
Well, that could be. I never checked them for gills, but it is possible. But on a rebreather, you're not competing with the bubbles, so that you take that sound element away, you can kind of hear people a little bit clearer when they're trying to talk to you.
I've also been told, and I want to get your feeling on this, that it's not as dehydrating, that it's not as drying in the mouth.
Yeah, well, not
it's
only
moisture.
That, it is, because it's your own air circulating through your lungs and everything. So, yeah, it is definitely way moister. And you
warmer.
Don't get dry mouth and warmer. Yeah, you're kind of like warming. You're keeping yourself warm from the inside out. And you know,
it's like never mind.
Well, It's not say, like it's not like peeing in your wetsuit. No. But internally, you know it is. And Peter from Aquanauts Grenada was telling me this, like, oh yeah, you can go much longer on a rebreather and not get cold than you would on open circuit. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. And you kind of get used to it. And then we did a bailout drill after about a 45-minute dive one time. And sure enough, after we switched to the open circuit scuba tank and start coming up from the, for this drill, after about not even 15, 20 seconds, I was like, oh, my God, I'm freezing. It was really that dramatic of a change. And you're like, wow, this is really remarkable how warm and comfortable you do feel compared to breathing that dry, cold air out of a tank. We're going to do it again in October, and you'll hear all about it right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Bula, that's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
Back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the producer. I'm getting ready to go to the Maldives, and Bill's not.
Bastard.
I'm excited about it. But who wouldn't be, right? That's going to be an adventure. If it's warm water Galapagos type diving, which is what a lot of my friends have told me over the last month or so, man. I couldn't be more excited about the possibilities of what could happen, because Galapagos was, I mean, that was the top of the mountain. That was the cream of the crop of dive experiences I've had with marine critters, that I just didn't think possible. However, when I went, it was freezing cold, and that's the only thing I was missing about that trip. I was like, oh my gosh, it was only warm water, and I would have enjoyed it so much more. But, you know, it's just what you're going to do. What are you going to do? All right, let's just go to the phone and see what's going on. Hi, who's this? Hello? Hello?
Hello, Greg?
Yes, who's this?
This is Crockett.
Crockett, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, pretty good.
Hey, you did I see you in the chat room? Did you say something about you're having some kind of event next weekend at the Oregon Aquarium?
Yeah, I am. They're having the DUI days where they travel around the country. They come through Florida, if I remember correctly.
Yes, they do. Speaking of cold water diving. So, what is the water temp there at the aquarium right now about?
Oh, it's getting to be the warmer time of the year. It's probably in the low 50s.
Low 50s. So are you going to put on one of these dry suits and do this, or you do this all the time anyway?
Well, I do it all the time. I have a DUI suit already, but I'm going to be up there. They all the volunteers at the aquarium, they allow the public to purchase a ticket, and they allow the public to actually dive in a couple of the big exhibits we got there.
All right, so you're going to do that next weekend while I'm in the Indian Ocean diving the Maldives.
Yeah, well, I could trade you if you want. I mean, I don't want to deprive you of getting into the cold water environment, you know, at least once anyway.
Well, I'm not saying I would never do it. But just not this weekend. Not next weekend.
He's not saying he would never do it, but he is saying that all the warm places would have had to have gone away.
What are you going to do, right, Crockett?
Now, I do have this question, yeah. Crockett, though. You say a couple of the large exhibits. What kind of creatures are in those large exhibits? Is it just kelp fields or
wool fields?
In the pelagic exhibit, we've got Miss Piggy. She's about a 10-foot, 7-gill. Plus about 5 or 6 other of her cohorts, and then there's also salmon in there, and there's smelt and anchovies and stuff. Big schools of them swimming around. There's bat
sounds
rays.
Delicious.
Yeah, just need to order a pizza and you're good to go.
Anchor. I hear you.
All right. Well, Oregon and Aquarium next weekend, DUI Dog Day event. Go there if you want to try out some cold water diving and dive in the aquarium, right, Crockett?
That's it. It's a blast.
All right, there you go. I'll take his word for it. At least
it's good enough for you.
Yeah, at least for now. I'll do that eventually when I have no other choice. No, I'm joking.
He's not joking.
No, I am. I mean, the Galapagos was an amazing trip. I would
yes,
never,
it was.
Trade that experience for anything in the world. But it was cold, and it kind of made things a little rough for me. And I didn't have a dry suit. If I would have had a dry suit, maybe that would have changed everything for me. Maybe I,
it's not like you don't have a dry suit.
Well, I have the driest dry suit on the planet.
Desert dry, baby.
But I don't have a DUI dry suit. Maybe that's what point. I need. Who knows?
So you're hedging your statement about the cold water because you want DUI to send you a dry suit.
No. Well, maybe. No.
You know,
I don't know.
Dry suit diving also requires some special training. You've done some of that, though, with DUI, right?
Yeah, I did the dry suit experience there at Hague Quarry. Matter of fact, they just had their Jim Hague Memorial Dive. I think that was last weekend.
So
while I was away,
what was more different, dry suit diving or closed circuit diving? Which was more different? Required more adjustment on your part to what you're used to?
The rebreather,
yeah,
definitely. You know, doing these silent diving rebreather systems was so cool. It was just an amazing. Amazing thing to experience, but the gear is well, I don't know, intense is not the right word, but you got to pay attention. You have to pay attention and really hunker down and you know, not take it lightly, because you know, you would do the same thing with open circuit if you compare it to learning how to dive
in the first place.
Yeah, and it's setting up your regulator and all this. Well, you know, there's kind of one way the regulator can kind of go on, and if you put it on backwards, you know, your dive instructor, you know, that's usually about the worst thing that can happen.
Right.
You can put stuff on backwards, like flip
upside
a regulator,
down. Yeah.
Upside down. That can, with a rebreather, you know, there's, at least in the Inspiration and the Evolution rebreathers that Tony and I were training on, there are a few more parts. Few more moving parts that you have to manage and know how they go together. And if you did it improperly, you could throw the whole system out of whack and it could create a catastrophic situation. And it could, it's not as obvious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you couldn't just look at it and say, oh, they didn't do this right.
Is there feedback for you from the system that tells you it's doing what it's supposed to do?
Yeah, the computer system on the Inspiration and Evolution rebreathers are phenomenal. And this is one thing, I don't know if I said this on the air when we were training in Grenada, Bill, but the computer they have for the rebreather system is actually two computers in one. And it has a redundant battery system. And if anything, they ought to take that computer and throw that out to the recreational dive industry. Because every computer ought to be like this. It has its own backup, and it's one unit. It's really a remarkable computer system. So it does operate in an idiot-proof type manner if the computer's working properly and you set it up properly. But that takes proper training. We could go on for days, but I don't have time for that. I got to go to the Maldives. All right, that'll do it. Remember, it's always better
down where it's wetter.
Yes, good
in
night.
The Maldives, you
yeah.
jerk.
Yeah, here's your pizza. I'll slide it under the door.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.